We'll once again be in the book of John, the Gospel of John, and we're doing a chapter-by-chapter series, really a brief study of each chapter. John chapter 4, you could divide into quite a few different verses and take them at a separate time, but we're just trying to get an overview of the Gospel of John, and tonight we're in chapter number 4, last week in chapter 3. We find that Nicodemus came to the Lord, and now in chapter number 4, we find the Lord going to a woman. And so let's begin reading in verse number 1, and we'll not read all the verses in the chapter, but we'll make reference to most of them as we go through these verses tonight. John chapter 4, verse number 1 says, "When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized none but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria, and cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour." Now, we'll stop off reading there because of you can just continue on with the story and the narrative, and we'll be looking at those verses tonight. John chapter 3, we found Nicodemus coming to the Lord, and sometimes it's good to make contrast, comparisons between certain incidences, and we find that after the Lord has dealt with Nicodemus, he departs. He knows some of the problems that's going to come about because of the what the Pharisees were trying to stir up hate and discouragement and discontent between the disciples of John the Baptist and disciples of the Lord. And so Jesus departs from there, and he goes to this place called Samaria. And if you contrast these two different people that are given to us, you'll find that the contrast is very great and has a lot of differences, but yet the same result takes place. We find in one passage we have a man, in this passage we have a woman. One is named, the other is unnamed. We know Nicodemus by name, but this lady we have not her name. We find in John chapter 3, Jesus is talking to a Jew. In John chapter 4, he's talking to a Samaritan, which is a half-Jew or a half-Jew and Gentile. We find that one was a respected ruler and one was a social outcast. So there's a great difference in their social standing. One was a moral man, one was an immoral lady. One came at night seeking Christ, and the other, Jesus, was at midday seeking her and finding her. One wondered how. Nicodemus said, "How can these things be?" And the woman at the well, she had many, many questions that we'll look at tonight, some of those, and notice there's a contrast there. One fades out of the story, and you don't hear anything about him anymore until John chapter 7 and chapter 19. The other goes to the city and tells the people of the city and tells the men of the city, "Come, this man's told me everything that I ever did." And so she is immediately thrust into the forefront while Nicodemus fades into the background. And all these things are given to us that we would understand that Jesus meets the need of mankind. It doesn't. We don't have to be poor and needy. We can be not down and out. We can be up. We can have good things. We can have we can be a ruler. We can be a person of outstanding character, but yet still not have what we need as far as the Lord. I heard today that Art Linkletter passed away, and I was talking to somebody the other day, but I said, he has to be close to 100 years old. I said, I remember him when I was a kid. And but they was interviewing him a couple of years ago, and they asked him, he'd had a couple of children die, and they asked him about death and eternity, and he said, "Well, heaven sounds sort of dull to me." He said, "Hell seems like a place of real activity." And so the interviewer asked him, he said, "Well, are you wanting to go to hell?" He said, "I really don't know." What a tragic story. You can have all kind of fame and fortune and not know the Lord, and you're going to end life in tragedy without Christ. Or you can be a person that has nothing and has no relationship with the world at all, and yet die and leave this world and have the joys of heaven. And so Jesus meets the need and can meet the need of every person, every individual, whether it be a man or a woman, whether it be a Jew or a Gentile, whether it be a moral or an immoral person, the Lord can meet the needs of those folks. And these verses tell us that and give to us. Like the first three chapters of John, this fourth chapter also furnishes us with another aspect of the deplorable spiritual condition that Israel was in and the time that the Lord was here upon the earth. I jotted down some verses, and we'll not take time to turn to all of them, but these verses tell us in the first two or three chapters of John what kind of condition Israel was in spiritually, because in chapter 1, verse 19, we have a blinded priesthood that did not understand and did not have any kind of understanding of spiritual things, but yet they was in the priesthood. They was in the religious side of the Jewish nation. In chapter 2 and verse number 3, we find that there was a wedding supper that had no wine and showed to us that the nation really was joyless and didn't have any joy at all until Jesus comes on the scene. In chapter 2, verse 14, you have the temple is desecrated and Jesus drives the money changers out, showing that's the condition that the people of Israel were in when the Lord was here. In chapter 3 and verse number 7, we have a person probably of the Sanhedrin, the ruler of the Jews, Nicodemus, that came, that he was spiritually blind and spiritually dead, but yet he was a ruler, and Jesus said, you're a ruler of the Jews, and you know not these things. And so that shows again the condition spiritually that Israel was in. And then in chapter 4 and verse 9, we find that the Jews, in their condition, they didn't even want to have anything to do with their neighbors, especially the Samaritans. And even the disciples were surprised when they found Jesus talking to this woman of Samaria. So as highly privileged as Israel was, and all the blessings that they had, and they'd had the written Word of God, the revelation of the Lord, they were selfish and indifferent toward the needs of those that were in darkness. Even the disciples, as I said, were surprised when they found Jesus talking to the Samaritan woman, because that just did not happen. She was surprised. She said, you being a Jew would speak to me, a Samaritan. And so the condition of Israel spiritually at that time was very, very bad and very low. I believe the condition of our own hearts and conditions of our own country we find tonight would be just as deplorable and just as bad when we search out the ways that man is being dealt and treats other folks and how the knowledge that we do not have concerning the spiritual things of the Lord. So tonight in chapter number 4, I want us just to look at how Jesus met the need and how He continues to meet the need of a man, a woman, a boy, a girl, mankind, and how that He does that. We find in verses 1 through 6, where we first read here, we find that Jesus went to the place because there was a great need. I'm glad Jesus came to this world because there was a great need. The need was salvation, and the need of mankind was that they had to have a Savior. And so when the Lord was upon the face of this earth, He continued that walk and continued that type of ministry, and he saw the necessity of leaving Judea because of the premature collision between the Pharisees and the disciples of John the Baptist and the disciples of Jesus. And so he sees what's taking place, and the Bible says that he leaves and he goes and he left Judea and departed again to Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. And so we find here there was a necessity that Jesus, there was a necessary way that Jesus went. And it wasn't just a happen, it wasn't just a chance that this took place, because I believe it was all part of a plan for Jesus to meet this woman and explain to her and tell her all the aspects of salvation. So there was a necessity of leaving Judea, there was a necessity of going through Samaria, and there was a necessity of waiting at the well. Those things set the stage for this woman to come. The Bible tells us in verse number 5 that Jesus is resting there at the well. He says He come into the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son. And the Bible says in verse 6, now Jacob's well was there. Jesus therefore being wearied with His journey. Can you imagine Jesus being wearied? Well, He's the one that created the heaven and the earth. He was the one that John has already declared to us that was there in the beginning. And now in His earthly ministry, the earthly side or the human side of the Lord got hungry and the Lord got tired. And as He journeyed on His way, having this place in mind where He was going, the Bible says as He journeyed, was wearied, He sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. Now, in Jewish time frame, we find that Jesus was there about noon, the sixth hour. The Jew starts their day 6 o'clock, night and morning. 6 o'clock at night is the beginning of a new day, and 6 o'clock in the morning is the beginning of the day as far as daylight is their concern. And when you come to the sixth hour, we find that it is the noon hour. That Jesus is sitting here at this well, and He's waiting in this necessary place as a part of a plan by this well. Now, this is a well-known place. This is one of the few places in all of Israel that is not disputed. They know where it is. They know what it was. They know when it was dug. They know all the things about it. As far back as 1697, Jacob's well was measured at 105 foot deep and 7.5 feet in diameter and cut through solid rock. And so this was a place that was well known to the Jew as a place where they would go and get their water. And He came there, and He's sitting there on the side of the well at the sixth hour, at the noontime hour. And so we find that Jesus is going to this place for a purpose and for a reason. Everything you see in the work and the life of the Lord Jesus Christ was always with purpose. It was always a reason behind it. It did not just happen. And so when the Bible says here He must needs go through Samaria, there was a plan that was being worked, and there was a place that Jesus was going to be, and He knew that woman was coming. He knew her need, and He knew exactly He was the one that could handle her situation and her problem and her need. And so He comes to this place of Jacob's well, and He is sitting there sort of cooling and relaxing at the noontime hour. And the Bible says in verse number 7, "There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus said unto her, Give me to drink." And you can read on down through verse number 26, and you'll find the continual back and forth message and conversation between this woman and the Lord Jesus Christ. And we find that Jesus spoke the words that she needed. I'm glad one day He spoke the words that I needed. I'm glad we have the Word of God that we all need, but He speaks to us individually. He speaks to us as a person, and He recognized the need of this woman. He knew her. He understood her need, and she comes there to draw water, and Jesus asks her or tells her, "Give me to drink." Notice verse number 8. "For His disciples were gone away to the city to buy meat." Remember, it's the noontime hour. And they're gone to buy food. "Then saith the woman of Samaria unto Him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, ask drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealing with the Samaritans." She understood well and plain that the Jew... Now remember, they had the privilege of the Word of God. They had the privilege of the blessings of the Lord. They had the blessings of everything God had showered upon them. And here comes a woman of Samaria, and she says, "You're a Jew, how come you're talking to me? Because the Jews have no dealings with us." Well, that's a good testimony, isn't it? Well, the Jews, they have no dealings with a sinner. One of the real problems that Jesus had with some of the hierarchy or some of the religious crowd of His day was that He sat and ate meat with sinners. And that He sat down with sinners, and He had fellowship and communion, communication with sinners. And that was one of the big problems, because they were so set in their spirituality, their self-righteousness, I guess we should say. They were so set in that they felt themselves much better than anybody else. And it's given to us time and time and again in the Scripture, because there was that Pharisee that said to that one day to the Lord about the publican, he said, "I'm glad I'm not like he is." And so that was the attitude of the Jew. They were better than everybody else. And so Jesus on purpose goes to this well, and He's sitting there at the noontime hour, And he's waiting on her to come, for he knows she's coming. And as soon as she gets there, he said, "Give me to drink." And it shocks her, it surprises her. But he recognized the need that this woman had. And I said, well, I'll go on some of the contrast between Nicodemus and this woman, was that Nicodemus just didn't understand. He said, how can this be? He only asked that one question. But you'll notice in these next verses, this woman continually, she said, how come you would ask me a drink, a woman of Samaria? Verse 10, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God and know that it saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked him, and he would have given thee living water. And the woman said to him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with. She has the same problem that Nicodemus had. Nicodemus said, how can a man go back to his mother's womb and be born again when he's old? And she says, how can you give me to drink? You don't have anything to draw with. You see, they were looking on the natural aspect, on the what they could see and what they could believe by looking. And Nicodemus said, that's an impossibility. And she said, that's an impossibility. And she says, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Oh, yes, pretty deep. We found, as you research it, it's 160-something feet deep, or 105 feet deep back in 1600. And so it's a deep well. Had much water and supplied all the water for that area. And she said, how are you going to draw? You have nothing. The well is deep, and whence thou hast living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Are you greater than he is? Oh, yes, he is. And so we find that Jesus is speaking to her, and he understands and recognizes her need. But in verse 14, he reaches her heart when he says, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that shall give him shall be with him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. So the Lord now is not only recognizing her need and waiting for her to come, now he is reaching her heart and he reveals to her the sin of her life. He reveals to her and he tells her everything about her. And the woman said to him, verse 15, give me this water and I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. And she's still not getting it. She's still thinking about a spirit or a physical drink that I'd never have to come to this well again. You see, it's strange for this woman to be here. And I've said this before and others have also, but it's a strange place for this woman to be at the noon hour. Because people did not come to the well at the noon hour because of the heat of the day. They always came early morning or late evening. And here she is in the middle of the day. Why is she there? Well, it's possibly because of the condition of her heart and brings about the condition of her life. And we find that she's a very immoral person. Now, in America today, it wouldn't matter. I mean, that everything goes. It does not matter. But in that day, it mattered what you were. And it mattered the lifestyle that you had. And here she is at the noon hour, really thinking that nobody would be there. She can go in obscurity and nobody points at her. Nobody talks behind her back. Nobody accuses her because of the life that she lived. And so Jesus is there. And I believe that shocked her. And then when he talked to her, that shocked her. Then when he talked to her about water and giving her water, that shocked her because she says, you don't have nothing to draw with. And then when he says, it'll spring up with you in a well of life everlasting, she said, give me that so I won't have to come back here anymore. So I don't have to face my accusers. I don't have to face those that mock and make fun. And so in verse number 16, on down through the verse number 26, we find that Jesus reveals the sin of this woman. You see, Jesus always reveals the sin of our heart before we come to know Him. He lets us know that we have a great spiritual need. Verse 15, sir, give me this water so that I don't have to come hither to draw. And Jesus said to her, go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. Here's your condition. You go get your husband, we'll talk about it. She said, I don't have a husband. Now, when Jesus said, you've well said, and then he describes her sin, I'll guarantee you that got her attention. He said, you've well said that. You don't have a husband because you had five. And by the way, the one you're with now, he's not your husband. Boy, can you imagine facing that? Here she comes at the noon hour, so the other ladies that's drawing water won't point their finger or mock her. And here is a man that she's never met has told her exactly all about her life. Jesus reveals the sin of this woman. He speaks the words that she might understand. In verse number 27 on down, we find that his disciples marveled that he talked with the woman. You see, she was surprised. They were surprised. He talked with the woman, and yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou to her? They wasn't about to ask the Lord, how come you're talking to her? They knew enough. And they realized. And all the Lord was trying to do here, if you read these next verses down through verse number 34, you'll find that Jesus, all he is interested in is doing the will of the Father. Well, I'm glad, thank God, it's the will of the Father that we come to know him. Even when we have to be met point blank, face to face with our sin. You said that must have been very troubling to her. Well, what would be more troubling? Dying and go to hell? What's more problems to a person to face them with their need and face them that they're lost and undone, they need God, they need salvation, or just letting them die and go to hell? What's the greatest need? And so Jesus faces her with her problem and he seeks to do the will of the Father, and his disciples are shocked. And when the Lord had told her that she had five husbands, the woman says in verse 19, Sir, I perceive thou art a prophet. He'd made an impression upon her. I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in the mountain, and you say that Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship. And Jesus said to her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. You know what we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. He tells her that God is a spirit, and that if they worship him, they must worship him in spirit and in truth. And the woman said in verse 25, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he has come, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. He had already moved her mind to the thought that, well, there is a Messiah coming. He is going to tell us everything that needs to be known and everything that we have knowledge of. And Jesus said, you're talking to him. She perceived he's a prophet, and he wanted to make sure she knew he was a Messiah. And he just simply came, and the disciples, they were shocked. Verse number 28, in spite of the weariness and the hunger of the Lord Jesus Christ, he continues to deal, and she goes and leaves. She leaves her water pot. Been a lot of statements about that. She brought that water pot to get water in. She left it behind with no water, but she took a well of water with her. She wasn't interested in the fleshly water now. That's what she was interested in first. You have nothing to draw with. How we go? I want this, so I don't have to come back here. But all of a sudden, that water pot wasn't important, because Messiah had already revealed to her need. And she goes out, and she goes. The woman left her water pot and went her way into the city and said to the men, Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? She said in verse number 25, We know that Messiah coming, he's called Christ. And she goes to the city and witnesses and tells the men, Come see a man. He is the Christ. And so she had met the Lord, and the Lord had met her need. And they went out of the city and came to him. In the meanwhile, verse 31, In the meanwhile, his disciples pray him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Therefore saith his disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? They didn't understand. They were just about as fleshly a group of people as ever was on the face of the earth that should have been spiritual. When the little children came to the Lord, they wanted to take them away. And Jesus said, don't let them come. When the crowd came and pressed upon the Lord, they would push the crowd back. And Jesus said, no, I want them to come. When they, when one would come to Him, they would push him away. When the woman with the issue of blood touched the hem of His garment, they tried to push everybody away from the Lord. They were just a bunch of fleshly believers. They hadn't learned everything yet. And they said, Master, we've gone to town, we've bought the food, now let's eat. Now why did he stop there? He was tired and hungry. I mean, fleshly, humanly, Jesus was tired, hungry. At the noontime hour, they go to buy food, and while they're gone, he meets this woman. And then he tells them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Spiritual meat. Things that were more important than fleshly food. And the Lord reveals that he's just seeking to do the will of his Father. Verse 34, Jesus said unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. So there's the meat. There's the food. There's what kept the Lord going. And he tells his disciples, this is my task. This is my job. To finish the work. To finish the job that I have been given. Nicodemus was part of that. And this unnamed woman that got the shock of her life, she was part of that plan. Now in the next few verses, verse 35 on down through verse number 44, we have a passage of Scripture that we've used and used and used, and sometimes we don't keep it in context. He tells them in verse 35, Say not ye that there are 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit in life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice. And herein is that saying true, one soweth, another reapeth. I sent you to reap that thereon you bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and you have entered into their labors. Here we find Jesus reveals the need of all of mankind. It's not just Nicodemus. It's not just this woman. But it's the fields that are white unto harvest. And Jesus is giving these verses to his disciples. Those men that said, don't you want to eat? These men that said, why are you talking to her? These disciples that were followers of the Lord, that had been followers of John the Baptist, now they've come over to the Lord. And Jesus said, you need to lift up your eyes and look on the harvest. It's already white. It's not going to be tomorrow that we need to get it, but it's today that we need to be in the harvest. And he reveals the need of all of mankind. And he compares our need of man to a harvest field. The fields are white. One place the Scripture says the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he may send forth laborers into his harvest. The word send, as I have said so many times, means to thrust. Push them into it. Expel them into the harvest fields of the Lord. And he is trying to teach his disciples, here's your purpose. I've come to fulfill the will of my Father. Now here's the will for you. Look on the fields. White, ready. And if the harvest is not gathered in, it'll be lost. It'll be destroyed. It'll fall. Now this is going on. The Samaritans come to the Lord, besought him. In verse number 40, these men have come and that this lady has gone to get. And somewhere in the conversation, they probably have heard this message. In verse number 40, So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them. and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. Many more believed. Verse number 42, said unto the woman, Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Now after 2 days he departed thence and went to Galilee. For Jesus himself testified that a prophet hath no honor in his own country. There is the 2 day he was just passing through. But he abode there 2 days and dealt and talked to those folks. And they told the woman, said, we're believers now, but it's not because of just what you told us, but we've heard him and we believe him and we trust him. And so after 2 days he departs. And so in those verses Jesus reveals all the need of mankind. There's not a person living on God's green earth tonight that does not need the Lord. Every person needs Christ. The fields are white. The harvest is ready. Disciples, that's your job. My job is to do the will of the Father that sent me. Your job is to do the will that I send you. He says, even so send I you. And then he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Who did he say that to? He said it to these disciples that were very fleshly. But they were watching and they were learning and Jesus was teaching them lessons. And then in the latter part of this chapter, we find that Jesus meets the need of a man. Has nothing to do with the main thrust of this chapter, but what a great passage this is. Also, the nobleman's son is healed. And he meets the need of this man. So here's a woman, here's a world, and here's one individual man that had a son that had to be healed. The nobleman believed the Lord, and the nobleman's son was healed. Let's read those verses. Verse 45 says, And when he was come into Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things that he did in Jerusalem at the feast, for they went up into the feast. Now that feast is what we read about last week. So Jesus came again to Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum, and he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea to Galilee. He went unto him, besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus to him, Except ye see the signs and wonders, ye will not believe. The nobleman saith unto him, Sir, come down here, my child die. And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken to him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, Thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said to him, Yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said to him, Thy son liveth. And himself believed his whole house. This is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he was coming out of Judea into Galilee. Here in chapter number 4, we find Jesus meets the need of mankind. You can be an immoral person, you can be a disciple, or you can be a nobleman. It doesn't matter where we find ourselves. It doesn't matter what condition of life we find ourselves in. We might be a ruler like Nicodemus, but he was lost. We might be an immoral person like this woman and be lost. We can be taught a lesson that the whole world is like a white field ready to be harvested that's lost. And here's a nobleman. A man, again, had authority. And he says to the Lord, Come, my son, near death. And Jesus said, You just go home, your son liveth. And it's amazing, it's at the seventh hour. Sixth hour, he can save a woman. After 2 days, he goes and back to Jerusalem, or back to here this place where he was as he enters into Capernaum, Canaan. And at the seventh hour, at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, 2 days later, as he travels home, or the next day as he travels home, he asked the men that told him his son was better, Well, when did it happen? Well, yesterday, about the seventh hour. Immediately he knew Jesus was Messiah. And the Bible says here that he believed in verse 53, and his whole house. I believe my whole heart that Jesus is interested in household salvation. Man, woman, children need to know the Lord, serve the Lord Jesus Christ, and be what they should and could be for Him. He meets the need of the world. I'm glad we can sing the song, Jesus Saves, Jesus Saves. Wafted on the rolling sea, Jesus Saves. Give the winds a mighty voice, Jesus Saves. Doesn't matter who we are, doesn't matter what race we are, what nationality, Jesus Saves. And that is our story to the world, for their white unto harvest. Let's stand tonight.